My name is Russ Marin. I am the pastor of Mount Clover Road Baptist Church. Today I'm going to be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and I'd like to take you right now to the Mount Clover Road Baptist Church auditorium for today's message. The believer who does not pay God's price for power is the problem. That power comes at a price. And you know, a personal testimony. I pray and I say, God, you know, when I preach, I want people to get saved. I want God to use it. But the Bible says the word of God will not return void. So I am confident that I'm preaching the word of God Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. So the word of God will not return void. And then you say, what's the difference between a D.L. Moody and so many other preachers? And the difference has to be the power of God on his life. And then you have to say, well, why is the power of God on his life? And you have to come back to where he is spiritually. So you have to say, I'm giving out the gospel, and you're preaching the truth. You're giving the word of God. It does not return void. So there has to come a time of self-evaluation in what is taking place in my life personally. What's taking place in my life spiritually? Is God using my life? And I would just say that, I say this to you. I think every one of us needs to look at this. To have the power of God on your life, there's a price that has to be paid. The price may be in study. The price may be in prayer on your knees. The price may be in walking by faith. It's all of those things. The price may be a willingness to suffer. Price may be a willingness to be rejected, a willingness to be persecuted, a willingness to lose friends. But that price has to be paid in order to have power. That's what is missing, I think, in our churches today. And you could say it down through the ages. The great people that moved masses of people had the power of God upon their life. The harvest was there. The harvest is ready. People are ready to be saved. Okay? Verse 9. He says to them, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you, and into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaves on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh to you, come close to you. So the person says no to the gospel. Shake the dust off your shoes and move on. Now, the Bible teaches in Matthew, when we are to pray for something and to pray again and to pray again and to pray again and to pray again. Keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking, keep asking, keep asking, keep seeking, keep seeking. We know that is biblical. But when a person says no to you, says no to the gospel, here he says, shake the dust off your shoes and move on. I think you still keep praying, but I think sometimes I've been around some people, they spend too much time on the person that doesn't want to hear the gospel. Move on. Go to the next person. Go to the next city. Go wherever. You know, go where they're willing to listen. And if they won't listen, shake the dust off, go to the next place. So he says in verse 12, he says, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Now, he's talking about Capernaum. Let's look at verse 13. It says, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done unto you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Now, what he says is, Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, if they would have seen the miracles that were done in Capernaum, in Chorazin, and Bethsaida. If they would have seen those miracles, they would have repented years ago or months ago, a long time ago, they would have repented and gotten saved. He says, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida, woe unto you, Capernaum, because you've seen the miracles and you've not repented. You know what? I've been in Israel and I've been in Nazareth and I've been in Jerusalem. I've been different places. But you can't go to Chorazin. It's not there. You can't go to Bethsaida. It's not there. A couple decades ago, they found where they think Capernaum was. But there's not a city there now. Why aren't they there? Because God says, woe unto you. I came here, I presented miracles, I performed miracles, and yet you came close to the kingdom of God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Just think of yourself at the mall. Okay? Think of yourself at the mall. Thousands of people are there, and as you look back on your life, someone would say to you, you know, one day when you were walking down through the mall, you brushed shoulders with Jesus Christ, and he stopped and tried to talk to you, and you ignored him and walked on. And you look back on that in history, you'd think, wow, was that ever a mistake? I was that close to the Savior of the world, and I just brushed past him, just moved right on. He said, you know what? I came to Capernaum. I did all these miracles. You rejected it. Capernaum doesn't exist today. Chorazin doesn't exist. Bethsaida does not exist. So, verse 14, he says, but it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. The city will cease to exist. The city is thrust down because the city rejected Jesus Christ. There's also there's a lot of these little statements in this passage, but the obvious is the people from Tyre and Sidon, which were Gentile cities, the people from those cities apparently will not suffer quite as much in hell as the people in hell from Capernaum or Chorazin, because the people in Capernaum and Chorazin saw so much more. They had so much more opportunity. I think it's true in principle for the United States. To miss heaven and be from India is one thing. To live in the United States and miss heaven is quite another thing. To live in India and never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and not get saved is one thing. To live in Toledo, Ohio, and have churches on all so many corners, to have Christian bookstores, to have Christian radio, Christian television, to have all that in Toledo, and to miss Christ, what will be the cost to that? What will be the cost? I think it will be easier in hell for the person from Tyre and Sidon, or the person from India, it will be easier in hell than for the person from Toledo, Ohio, who had the gospel over and over and over, an opportunity to know Christ and to miss it. I think you can take that principle from this passage. Verse 16, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me. So you see, you're an ambassador of Christ. When you are despised, when you are heard, they're hearing Christ. When you are despised, they're despising Christ. It says, and he that despises me despises him that sent me. He that despises Christ despises God the Father. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Oh, that's pretty exciting. Let me read you a couple verses. And I want this to be an encouragement. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, it says, the weapons of warfare that we have spiritually, the weapons of warfare are mighty. In Hebrews 4, 12, the Word of God, it says, the Word of God is quick and it is powerful. In Jeremiah 23, 29, it says, is not my word like as a fire, like a hammer that breaks a rock to pieces? The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is alive. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish. There is not one person in this room that Jesus Christ does not want to get saved. He wants everyone to get saved. He wants every person in Toledo to get saved. He wants every person in Lucas County to get saved. Christ has not predestined anyone to go to hell. He wants everyone to get to heaven. Now, everyone's not going to get saved, but Christ wants them to. He's not willing that any should perish, okay? But listen, the Word of God is powerful. Salvation is powerful through the Word of God. In verse 18, it says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." When their work was done, they come back, and apparently from these verses, they still have power. Job's not done. They're still going to live for Christ. He said, "I give you power." Verse 20, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you." You don't have to rejoice that the devils have to obey you when you cast them out. But rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Probably once a month or once every 2 months, for sure I hear this. People ask about having demons in your house or demons in this world. I think the Bible's very clear that there is a demonic world. The angels that fell from heaven with Lucifer, with Satan, are demons. They are intellectual. They are supernatural. They are powerful. They are working against you. They are an enemy. And they're, for us, they're invisible. There is a spirit world around us, and I don't think it's uncommon at all that they oppress or they try to attack, they try to influence, they try to intimidate. I don't think it's unusual at all for them to come to your house or to be in your house or a workplace or something like that and try to cause trouble, that try to hinder the work of Christ. Now, you talk too much about that, people think, wow, this guy's a lunatic. This guy's crazy talking about this. But I would say to you, Bible's pretty clear on this, that there are demons, that they are active, they are in this world, and these 70 young believers were casting them out of people. And these 70 young believers were healing people, and these 70 young believers were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.